Want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Tentor. It's a really, really word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, tell my shining through the water, and I'd like to give the information. Ask me for more playmates, noise. It's ringing in my ear, playmates, noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and we come to you at this time every Sunday evening from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast and 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast. And we try to bring you the best in guests, and certainly I think our first guest, Josh Coy, how entertaining is he? And wait till you get a load of his show once it re-airs, and it's really, really good. Like I said, I'll be carrying his archives on thecommonsenseshow.com. Program note very quickly, next week we've secured Mike Adams as a guest, and he's knocking him dead with some of his revelations. And we're working on booking John B. Wells. So a lot of good stuff coming up in the future. This hour in part is brought to you by TradeGeniusAcademy.com with my good friend Bob Kudla, who's our go-to economist for the Common Sense Show. And we're going to, well, let's put it this way. I'm going to have him on in a few weeks because as we come to the end of the quarter, I want to basically line up and see how America is doing economically. And I tell you right now, they're not doing very good. But anyway, he has a training academy, Bob does, where he can train you to do what he does. And we're kind of going one step at a time with Bob, and we're learning the craft. And if you really work at it, it's like taking a class in school. It's not overly complicated, but you do have to pay attention, and it's not first grade science. But I'll tell you, I feel like I really got a good handle on how the stock market works, and it doesn't work. And I will also tell you this, that his people are making good, good money. The testimonials are excellent. Bob has published some of his results, and I've put some of them on thecommonsenseshow.com. TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Mention my name when you call and see if you qualify for a discount. TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Again, if you're still looking for storable food and you haven't started, it's time. Go to pneumana.com/Hodges. And use the coupon code HodgesNOV5 to take 5% off. Well, here's a pre-record I did with Ronnie and McMullen, and I'll tell you, good, good stuff. Former KMET out of L.A. talk show host. I hope you enjoy this, and we'll be back at the bottom of the hour with Bob Griswold.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And on the newsmaker line with me is an old familiar guest, Ronnie McMullen, former talk show host, owner of GetTheTea.com, certainly the best array of health products that's out there. And we're going to talk about something that really crosses the domains of physical health and mental health. In particular, we're going to be talking about fear. From my perspective as a former mental health therapist, I think fear has paralyzed a good amount of this country, and it's keeping people from reaching their potential, has negative impact on their health. And I know Ronnie agrees with that. Ronnie, welcome to the show, and I can't wait to explore this topic with you.
Thanks for having me on, Dave. It's a big topic, and I think people want to know about this subject. So it's a good subject.
Well, it's one that all of us have to face. I mean, the words of Franklin Roosevelt ring in my ear: "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." And you know what? To a large extent, when they were dealing with the Depression, World War II, he was right. He was absolutely right. He tried to free people from their shackles of fear so they could realize their potential to tackle the problems they were facing.
Well, and I think the thing is what's the antidote to fear? You know, I mean, we know fear. We know mass media is pushing fear A lot of, you know, sometimes religions are pushing fear, and it's, so it's surrounding us. Health is huge on fear. Huge, huge. I mean, that's their marketing tool. So everything's on fear, and I think people are looking for the antidote. They're like, you know, yeah, I see fear. I get it. I'm with you. But how do you get rid of it? I mean, real time, you know, how do you get rid of it? Because, you know, some of these gurus will tell you, oh, well, this is how you do it, and that never works. And so I think people really want to know a little bit about it. You know, how can you recognize it, and how can you know that it's not really something happening, but it's really the true effect, you know, and how do we deal with that?
Well, how do you deal with it?
I think the first thing for me is realizing the fact that everything that you fear, 90% of it will never happen. Okay, so just flat out, straight. 90% of what you fear will never happen. So that means only 10% is really real. So that's your first category. And the fact that, you know, when you, fear sometimes is loss, okay? And sometimes it's something that we're forward thinking. So in other words, we're not in the now. We leave the now, move into the forward thinking. What if this happens? What if, you know, let's use something so people understand what I'm saying. So maybe we have an economy collapse. That's pretty scary for most people. Because will I have enough money? Will I lose my job? Will I make my car payment? Well, you know, and all this stuff that goes through their mind. Will I have enough food? Will this, that, and the other happen? So how do you combat that? Well, 90% of fear doesn't happen. So let's say that it doesn't happen. Then you had all of that anxiety and that worry and everything that happened into your brain. It happened for nothing. So what we need to realize is, you know what? To calm ourselves down, we need to realize what the truth is. You know, are we really going to lose the economy? Because I've heard about the economy for probably 10 years. And, you know, is it really going to happen? And I think it's, you know, like you said off air, it's about facing your fear.
Well, I think, too, that what people fail to realize is that fear is so debilitating to the decision-making process. We know that, for example, brains that are under constant stress with, you know, fear as a central element, yeah, that brain cells actually shrink. I'm sure, yes, you're aware of that.
Yes.
And you have an over-secretion of cortisol and adrenaline, which causes people to overreact in the face of stimuli where rational thinking might actually do them, you know, serve them better. So, you know, fear is indeed an enemy. And would you agree that our society is more fear-based now than it's been for a while?
Oh, yeah, and we know why. Well, at least I know why. I'm pretty sure everybody will agree with this, and this because of mass media. And I call it mass media because it's not the news. It's far from the news. I mean, if you look at, you know, and I think, you know, we've seen this with the Trump administration, where all of a sudden, as soon as Trump enters office, everything is fake news, everything is, you know, meaning... There was fake news going on when Obama was in the administration, and there was fake news going on when it was Bush. There was fake news on with Clinton, and we can go back and back and back and back again. It's been fake news for a long time, but all of a sudden Trump gets into office, and it becomes this big, giant deal. I mean, I find it interesting that this is all taking place, and maybe, again, I think we're in a spiritual war, Dave. We're in the war where the dark knows it's getting ready to go at it. The light is coming. I mean, people are waking up. People are saying, I don't want any more of this. People are looking at CNN or Fox, and they're going, you know, that doesn't sound right. I don't think so. And again, you know, and there's still the elderly that's left that, you know, kind of believe a lot of the stuff, and they, oh, you know, look what CNN just said, you know, and there we go, back into our fear. And I think one of the biggest fears that I'm seeing that's happening and taking place is the fear of health. And people, that is something that's real. So the doctor says, here's what you've got going on. You know, how do you deal with that? Because you're fearful of it, but you're also, that's a truth. So that's one of the part of the 10% that is really taking place. You're fearing something that really is. How do you deal with that? And there are ways to deal with that. But boy, I tell you, when you're dealing with fear and health, those are tough ones.
Well, especially where they intersect. And let me tell you what I learned in my graduate days of my education. I learned there's about a 2-year incubation period between what we're talking about with negative emotion and impact on the immune system. What do you think about that? Do you think it's sooner, later? How do you view the interaction?
Well, I would say this. If you're talking about moving to, like, let's say the gut, where all of a sudden, you know, you have this stressful day. You just really have a stressful day. And 3 days later, you're ill like the flu. Like, you feel like you're going to vomit, upset stomach. What is that from? Most people say, oh, I must have caught something, or I ate the wrong food. And usually, your upset stomach is from that stress 3 days earlier. So back to what you were saying, I would absolutely believe it. I mean, when we go under the stress gun, having it actually incubate and 2 years later, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and because stress is cumulative, too, that and fear, we know, exacerbates that. I mean, on the continuum here, we even can look at the inducement of panic attacks comes from fear.
Yeah.
And what I look at with this is not... Well, excuse me, not just the health effects, but the debilitating effect that it has on one's life, the ability to enjoy life.
Yes, yes. Well, and you know, one of the things that I've been kind of researching and checking out and making sure I'm correct on this is we are beings that are meant to create. So if we are in a fear mode, we are not creating, okay? We are usually paralyzed. So if we start using our creative talents, okay, you might say co-creator, where we start using and creating things, you know, doing something, whether it's, you know, writing a piece of music or writing a book or working on a company or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Painting, you know, it just really doesn't matter. When you're creating and you're doing, all of a sudden, fear doesn't seem to be that big a deal. All of a sudden, things change and the weights change, in my opinion. All of a sudden, this becomes more important, that becomes less important. And to me, it is a great antidote to fear, because if people get into their creative self and they start doing creative things, and it doesn't matter what that creative thing is, you would be amazed. And what I mean, I watch is when it comes to, you know, part of the nutrients and everything else is you really need a lot of physical activity. And so a lot of people, they go and they weightlift or they run or they do this. And some of these things are very hard. They're a lot of resistance and they're very hard on the body. But we need to have the cardio. Well, a lot of people have switched to dance, where they actually dance, and in fact, Zumba is one of the most popular dances out there right there, and it's a workout dance. But they create as they go. Sometimes it's not exactly the same thing, and they can kind of create a dance, and okay, let's do a new dance, and they're creating, and they're dancing, and the cardio's up, and everything's good. And guess what? During that whole amount of time, are they fearful of anything? And the answer is no.
That's a really good observation there, and it's also about the more self-empowered one is, the lower the fear response becomes.
Yes.
But I really look at this in terms of health, and we get into the health effects.
Yeah.
And you know, at the university level, I teach a class called health psychology. And what we talk about is the interaction between mind and body, instead mm-hmm. of the old Cartesian model that mind separate from the body. That's not true.
Right.
Mind affects the body. But what we look at, Ronnie, in this course is we're seeing clear correlations now between negative emotion, which includes fear, and things like heart disease and cancer. And it's not that people wouldn't get them anyway if they're predisposed genetically. It just means they're getting them a lot sooner than they ordinarily would.
Well, they're feeding them. They're feeding them.
Explain, you know, what you mean by that.
Well, when you're negative emotions, and let's go to this. So they're finding right now that there are 30 and 35-year-olds with perfect cardiovascular, please hear me correct, perfect cardiovascular, that are having stress attacks and literally having a major heart attack and dying. Okay? What is that off of? Stress, off of fear, off of, you know, all the things that stress us out, lack of control. You know, many times when people are major controllers, they have huge problems, because if you can't control something, it controls you. And so we fail at that issue. And instead of what I call letting go. And when you let go of things, and don't think that I have, you know, obtained this, because I'm the same as most humans, but I've been learning to let go more. I mean, many of us are facing diseases and we go, how did I get this disease? And some of these diseases, are tough. And in fact, the fear factor kicks in with all the healthcare professionals saying, well, this is a fatal disease. If you don't do this, this, and this, you know, you're going to die in 3 years. And, you know, I mean, I had a doctor I saw and he was a cardiovascular guy. And he basically said, oh, well, you know, you have blood sugar problems. Oh, well, you're going to die before everybody else. I didn't find that funny.
That's not empowering at all.
No, I didn't find that good at all. And then he wants to see me all the time? I don't think so. So what I did is I got very involved and took a high blood pressure and brought it to normal. Okay? But I had to be proactive. I had to be a part of that. I couldn't just say, poor me, I'm sick, and boy, I'm scared to die of a heart attack. You know, I think death is really, really over, you know, rated. I really do. I think death is really a doorway from one dimension to another. So if we realize that death is just a doorway and it's a change, that's really all it is. It's just a change of structure, something we don't understand on the other side, then we really don't have to fear it. And if we don't fear death, really, what do we fear?
Loss of control, which really comes back to fear.
Yep.
That's what I think. And let me give you an example, too. My work is, as I try to analyze what's going on in the world and what the threats are to the American people, my work has never been more stressful than it is right now because of the multitude of things that are on our country's plate. So do you know what I've done in reverse to this? I've gone back to my roots. You know, I'm an old retired college basketball coach, and I got offered I was solicited to coach a local high school team. And I thought about it and thought about it and said no. And my wife said, you're going to say yes. And I said, why? You got to have fun. And you've got to manage the stress in your life with things that you enjoy. And I thought, that's some of the best advice I've ever received. And
I'm with your wife.
I think there's a message there. And by the way, I've accepted. And I'm glad I did. And I think we need to take time to enjoy our moment to moment, and enjoy the earth that God has created for us.
Yes.
And the beautiful things that are here, instead of always worrying about the next boogeyman around the corner. And the boogeymen are real, but sometimes before you get to the corner, maybe we should stop and have some fun.
And that is absolutely true. I have an acre of fruit trees, and I call my trees my girls. And I go out with my girls, and I water them, and I give them food, and I trim them, and I make them look good. And you know the gift they give is they give us organic fruit. And lots of it. And it's interesting when you get, you know, I'll have a backache. I'll wake up in the morning with this gnarly backache and I go, oh man, I feel like crud. Wink, wink, wink. I'll go out and I'll work with my girls and I'll clean them up, pick their fruit, whatever it is, get them ready for when they're going to give fruit. And you know what happens to my back? Goes away. Why is that?
Mind over matter.
Exactly.
Or in this case,
how powerful
mind over body. Yeah.
How powerful is the mind? Let's talk about that. You know that one. How powerful is the mind over our body and over health?
Well, I'm a disciple of the late Wayne Dyer, and that man taught me more than almost anybody but my parents and a few coaches and my wife. He was tremendous. And what I learned from Wayne was he said, you can have what you want in your life and have happiness and abundance, but first you have to believe it. And he talked about fear being the block to belief that you need to have as a prerequisite to accomplishing a state of mind of peace and accomplishing things that you're proud of in your life.
He's dead on. It is a blocker.
He used to say, act as if. And the as if would be, you've already arrived at where you want to be.
As a man thinks, a man is.
Exactly. And that's so. Exactly. That is right on the target here. And this is what I see with people around me. A lot of people in my business, in the independent media, they do this 24/7. And I felt I was getting caught up in that. And this is why I talked about the coaching. But I'm doing other things, too. I'm trying to learn some gardening from my wife. And, you know, she's got the green thumb in the family. And I'm trying to reach out and do other things now because I want to say I had some fun while I was here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what good is being here if we didn't have any fun? You're on it. spot on. And I am, that's where I'm at. It's like, you know, as years go by, I didn't, you know, there's two ways to think about it. Oh, you know, what's coming up and, you know, doomsday and blah, blah, blah. And you think about all the scarves. And I've been going, you know, I don't want to think like that. So I reverse it and I go, what was my best day? Oh, yeah, I married my wife. Oh, I had children. Oh, I had, yeah, I remember that puppy. Oh, and I go to my good times and I go to that and I say, that's what I need to reclaim. In other words, you know, create new times. And what did I just say? Create new time. So it's not creation just always painting a painting or doing, you know, a vase. What it is moving in that creative spirit. And really, when you're in a creative spirit, you're out of control. That's how I see it. You know, an artist will tell you, they'll be like, I really don't know where this was going, but now I know where it's going. So when we're out of control, I think it's exciting. You know, I sometimes, you know, even radio, you know this, Dave. I would be like, you know, what are we going to talk about? I don't know. What are you going to talk about? Some of the best shows, there's nothing scheduled.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right? Right?
Well, Wayne Dyer captures it this way. He says that you reach a point when you let yourself live in the moment and live without fear. He said you are inspired. And then he says, what is that really saying? You're in spirit.
Beautiful. Bravo. Bravo. In spirit. Inspired. In spirit. I love that. I love that. And there's nothing better. And it is for me anyway. There is nothing better than being guided by the true spirit. Nothing. Because when you're guided by the true spirit, you are in the truth.
That's true. But to enjoy that, you have to have good health. So my segue would be to what you do for the public is, and I truly believe this. I mean, yeah. To enjoy life, you have to have a measure of health. You don't have to be the most healthy, the most fit, but you have to have a measure of health commensurate with what you enjoy doing. And you know, you certainly are one of those people that steps out there and helps people do that. So take a moment and let's talk about what it is that you try to do for the public with regard to helping them achieve health so they can turn around and embrace their lives without fear.
Well, what I like to do is I like to play mad scientist and come up with concoctions that are herbs, all plant-based, all GMO-free, and all organic, so that I can come up with something that helps people with their health, because God put the herbs here, and herbs are powerful warriors. They're like the Batcave. I mean, they're there to protect us. And so I like to see which ones tackle one thing that you might have sick-wise or was some kind of disease. I like to tackle that and say, okay, what, you know, and of course I can't say disease, so I have to scratch that from the day. But, you know, basically I try to find the herbs that deal with our body in a positive way. There's a better way to say it. And that is exciting to me. I mean, when I went to the cardiovascular doctor and he's like, oh, well, you got this, that, and the other, and you're probably going to drop dead before anybody else, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, and I'm paying you for this? I mean, seriously. So, you know, and I'll never forget, I'll be quick here. I'll never forget, he said, by the way, herbs don't work. I know you're part of this get the tea thing. Herbs don't work. Oh, okay, and you're a doctor, and I have to believe you, okay. But if I take an herb at the same time I take a pharmaceutical, it will cancel out the pharmaceutical. What does that mean? And he basically said, you know, yeah, the herbs don't work. And if he says, and if you ever really want to take me up on it, let's make a bet. And he says, I'm not talking about $100 bet. I'm talking about several thousands of dollars. And he says, let's make a deal to where we'll test pharmaceuticals over herbs and you'll see herbs doesn't work. And I thought, wow. And sure enough, I got medical journals and there are herbs that absolutely work. And so, you know, maybe I need to go back and make him a huge wager. I'm not a betting man, though. But long of the short of it is Allison Advance, beautiful thing. If you have stomach problems, it's great to get colostrum. It's natural, God's natural vitamins. And when you're looking at something like Allison Advance, it is nature's antibiotic. Okay? So that is a beautiful thing. And it's got so many good things in it. And then, of course, the tea is cleaning the colon. And, you know, so many times we get sludge caught in our colon and we're in trouble. Colonoscopies are no fun. So I get enjoyment watching people change and watching people get healthy and feel better and say, wow, Ronnie. And they'll email, thank you so much. It was so, you know, this was great. This was great. And, boy, I tell you, it helps me sleep at night.
Well, that sounds really good. Well, how do people find out about your product? How do they order, and what do you have available, basically?
Well, I got this, the what I call the Big Three. It's one of my favorite specials, and what it is Allicin Advanced. It is the Super Strength Tea, and it is the colostrum, whether you want vanilla or you want chocolate. And I'm kind of a vanilla fan, but they're both good. And those, I mean, you have those three products. Yippee-yay, you're going to do well. And you can get it at getthetea.com. And again, it's getthetea.com. YouTube channel is Health Matters Now. And you can get these great products, and it will change you. And we also send information sheets on the product so that people know what they're taking. That's the key to being proactive. It's like, you know, so many people will buy something, you know, oh, I'll buy the tea. And, you know, 2 weeks later, they forgot what it was, what it did, goes in the closet. Next thing you know, a year later, they throw it out. No, I don't like that.
Good stuff. I mean, and I get so much positive review. I mean, both on your content segment, when we come on and talk about current events, and in this case, I love the psychological construct we talked about today, but I get so much good feedback on your products. And so let me put this out there again. GetTheTea.com. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like it. And you reach people on so many multitudes of health issues. It's incredible. Whoops, I can't say health. But you know what I mean. Things that don't make you feel good. Okay, there we go, FDA. And you've done so much good for people. And the growing list of people who endorse your work and your products, it's incredible what I'm seeing happen here with the growth. So getthetea.com, Ronnie McMullen. And Ronnie, I want to thank you for joining us. This has been very interesting because we kind of branched away from current events to talk about us. And I think it's valuable. And again, I'd encourage everybody to visit getthetea.com to look at the great product line that Ronnie has available. Ronnie, thanks so much for joining us.
And please, if you order from Dave, let us know. Please let us know, because we're here to support Dave Hodges.
Appreciate it.
And really, let us know. It's very, very important. I know that checking that little box is probably not a big deal, but it really is a big deal for Dave. So we really appreciate Dave, and we'd like to know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, let him
Thanks,
know.
Dave.
Dave sent you. Thanks, Ronnie. Well, we're back, and my thanks to Ronnie. And I thought this was an important topic to talk about, because I've addressed it many, many times recently, because I see so many of my colleagues getting caught up in the 24/7 wall-to-wall, hey, we're in the fight for our lives. We are. But even soldiers who fight battles and they're on the front lines, they find ways to create distractions. So anyway, I thought that was important. Well, we're going to move to another segment here. And with all that is going on, and to shift back into more of a serious mode here, of, you know, danger, 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 Will Robinson. I've got Bob Griswold on the line with me from readymaderesources.com. And Bob's going to be talking about a couple of critical issues and, more importantly, what you can do about these critical issues. Bob, welcome to the show, and what do you got for us?
Well, Dave, it's always good to be here. You know, it's going to be a little bit of a shift from what we were just listening to. And again, you know, having a wife as a naturopath, that's what my wife is. She's a naturopathic doctor. Also, she is testing for her fourth damn black belt right now. So I always tease people that she can either kill you or cure you. But she's a very accomplished, you know, natural health professional. And you know, it really, I encourage people to really take your last speaker with seriousness, because, you know, my wife has revolutionized, just by diet, all of our lives. It really does start there. You know, we talk about fighting the good fight. Well, you can't do that, and I don't mean disrespect anybody, but if you're 100 pounds overweight, and you can't do that if you have metabolic stress syndrome, or you're chronically fatigued, or all these things that come about through bad diet, you know, overweight, and those things. So just really take that seriously. I mean, you know, get in shape. You know, you have to be fit to fight. I just thought of that. I hope nobody else thought of it, but you have to be fit to fight. And that doesn't mean necessarily everybody's going to be a judo expert or that, but even to engage the public arena in ideas, you want to be fit. You want to look like you're somebody who could, you know, or has a commanding presence. And, you know, when for bad diet choices or whatever, you don't come off with that appearance, it's really sometimes hard for people to take you serious. So I really take what the last guy said very, very seriously. Get fit, because we are in a fight for our lives. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. You know, Dave, we've talked a lot about, you know, the need for night vision equipment and radio communication on this program. I talked about it a lot. But we had John Lovell. You've had him on as a guest before. He came down, Army Ranger. You know, he has the Warrior Poet Society. If you know, you can check out his videos. I strongly encourage people to go and look at his videos, because there's so much to learn there about being, you know, able to fight, and not necessarily picking up a gun type fighting, but just being engaged in this conflict that we're in this country right now, and in the world, for the hearts and minds of people. For, are we going to have a constitutional republic? Are we going to have freedom? Or are we going to have the dark state and you know, the loss of freedom, tyranny? And so we are really in, I think, we've sat by way too long and allowed this fight to be one-sided, and the deep state is extremely well entrenched. And I am of the persuasion, Dave, that even if we do win, and I would say if, because, you know, it's not for sure that we will win, our government is deeply infiltrated by people who hate our republic. Local governments, we have half the population that thinks Hillary Clinton should have been president. So there's a fight out there. And when we had John Lovell down, and he did a night vision course for us. You know, again, I've always appreciated and known the benefit of night vision. I've used it a lot, but he took it to a new level, and really, he came up with several different things I like to talk about. You know, we went out about 9:30 and came back in at 3:30 in the morning, and it was like we had about 50 acres we were patrolling, and we had some observation we had to do, and extremely good course. This 61-year-old body felt pretty good that I could hike up and down some pretty steep mountains and keep up with the younger guys. So, again, there's that fit thing. You know, and what I learned from that course was tremendous. And anybody interested, I would encourage them to reach out to John. But, again, you know, what we were talking about is what would it look like if and when the rule of law breaks down. You know, if you have a time when the 911 doesn't answer, and we hear this, I mean, almost incessant thing that's being put under the public arena, EMP, financial collapse, even the government seems to be too big even to control itself right now. It seems like it's at complete odds with half the government's at odds with other half of the government. It's almost like they're involved in a conflict, a civil war within the government. The people that want to steal our freedom, take our property, you know, tax us more. And we have three generation of children who've been raised in public schools where basically Marxism has been the rule of the day. They have this invasion of Islam into our country where daily we see these things happening, like this police officer. He just shot that woman in cold blood, and it doesn't seem like anything will happen to him because he's politically protected. That's that half of America that really has not much in common with you or I. And so we were talking about, you know, what happens when the rule of law breaks down. And John was really mentioning strongly, and we've talked about this before, the need for networking. You really are going to have to have a network of friends. This is not the task of, you know, Rambos. There are none. That character is a fictitious character who's never really existed. You're going to have to team up with people, and basically what it says, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. You're going to have friends like that to survive this, because some of the things, I mean, just he mentioned, you know, Bob, you have a nice piece of property here. Do you know when the rule of law breaks down, you don't have any property boundaries anymore. Nobody's going to respect them. They're going to do whatever they want to do because you can't call the police to come and, you know, say, get that guy off my property. You can't do it. And, you know, as the longer a rule of law with failure of rule of law lasts, you're going to start to have people becoming very organized in their abilities to take what you have from you. Now, I don't want to scare anybody and that, but these are facts. I mean, all you have to do is look. I mean, Dave, did you see that video of those teenagers laughing while that disabled man was drowning, and they were videoing it and mocking him? Did you see that video?
Yeah, total depraved indifference.
Yeah, it is, and yet we look at that, and do we realize that there are a lot of those people in this country that could do that? I mean, it's not the majority, but there are a lot of people out there. My two best friends work in law enforcement, and I've spent a lot of time with them over the years. And I hear stories like that on a regular basis. And so when the rule of law breaks down, or whatever would cause it, you had better be able to have a network of friends that you can depend on. And so I would tell people, again, I've mentioned like the ham radio. You know, when you go and become a ham radio operator, go and get your test, you actually have to take that test locally. There has to be three general amateur radio guys that give the test. But in that radio club, you're going to meet people that are going to be like-minded. Because this is the question people always ask me. Well, where do I find people like that? You know, how do I find friends like that? Well, I would tell people a ham radio club is a very good place. Not everybody in there is going to have that mentality, but you are going to find, I would say most likely, people that have the like mindset. And so that's one place that you can go. Again, there are prepper conferences, and when you have a prepper conference local, you know, you can go and scope that out. You can go to Facebook and look and see if there are any prepper groups. Now, this doesn't mean you necessarily want to join those groups, Dave, but you could start doing the process of weeding out and looking to see if there's someone in that group that you would be of kindred nature to. You know, you might have your Christian faith in common. You might have a lot of other things in common. And you could start to form a network of friends, and you've heard me use that term before, because this is what John and I were talking about, the absolute necessity of having that network of friends should that break down, because there's a lot of those teenagers out there. And when the rule of law breaks down, they're going to come knocking at people's doors. I don't know if you remember when that hurricane was heading towards Florida a couple months, last year, there was actually people that were making YouTube videos saying, we want it to come. We want to loot. And so we need to be thinking of this. Some of the things I learned when I was taking that night vision course with John is the absolute necessity of the night vision and communication. We made two teams, an Alpha and a Bravo team, and we had these four or five different objectives. And it wasn't a shooting thing. We were just doing observations, but he was doing, you know, advancing things using bounding exercises. And I'll tell you, it just reaffirmed to me the catastrophic advantage this would give me in being able to defend my wife, my children, my family, if, you know, we have this time when the rule of law breaks down. And we have to ask ourselves, could it really happen in this country? Because that's always where you meet normalcy bias. Could it happen? And, you know, we John and I were talking. We were talking about, you know, God's way, God's law versus man's law. What do we use? What is the standard by which we use to say, could it happen? If we look at God's standard, it's like I would really wonder why it already hasn't happened. I mean, our nation is deep in debt. Even under Donald Trump, we're spending more money now than we ever have. You know, we have slowed down the illegal immigration some, but we're still, I mean, our nation has been flooded with people like that officer who just shot that woman. And a lot of people think he just didn't like, you know, women, or it might have been a racial thing or whatever. But our nation has all those people in it. So we have to start addressing these issues. And again, back to being able to supply ourselves during the event, how long it would last. You know, we have our food. I know you sell the Numana. You know, a little plug for Numana. John was down here, and he was tasting the Numana food, and he was commenting how good it was. You know, he really did like it. So, again, folks, you really need to think about these, because could it happen in the United States? Could we face this rule of law breakdown? I would dare say so. I mean, we've seen it in little bitty times, little spots like the Superdome during the hurricane. But, I mean, we have the threat of EMP. We have the threat of financial collapse. Numerous threats that we're facing all the time that could happen overnight. I mean, nobody on September 10th thought that September 11th would absolutely change America forever, and really for the worse. something happened that day that changed our country and really embedded the deep state, the police state, in there to where we've lost a lot of our freedom in these last 20 years. So could it happen? Again, going back, is it man's law or God's law that we are making that evaluation by? Again, I would choose to say I look at God's law, and if I look at it that way, I come to the conclusion, why has it already happened? So, you know, with that, we were talking about the things, what we would need, the food. You know, we sell the Berkey water filter, Dave. We've been using one for 20 years. It's a phenomenal filter. You can put it on your countertop anywhere. You fill it full of water, and it will supply the needs of an average family, even above average family, for a day. You can put just about any kind of water you want there. It doesn't handle salt water. You need a different type of process to handle salt water. But if you have pond water or whatever kind of you have that's dirty, you can put it in there, and it comes out as clean, fresh drinking water. You know, you can't eat your new man of food without water. And anybody who's ever been to a survival school, the first rule you learn about eating is that if you do not have water, you do not eat. Eating without water will kill you very quickly because your body needs water to absorbs water to digest it. So if you don't have water, your food's not going to do you much good. So again, I was just going to mention, anybody who buys any big Berkey water filter product from us today, we're going to also include a Sawyer mini filter. Now, this little mini filter can fit in your pocket, and all you got to do is put like 4 ounces. And again, it fits in your pocket. You can put it out. You can use it like a drinking straw, and it filters your bacteria, your protozoans. So you can take it anywhere. It's very unobtrusive. But anybody who buys a big Berkey tonight, because they were listening to the Hodges Show, is going to get that Sawyer water filter for free. So that's one of the things we want to do. And again, the Big Berkey handles things that you could, you know, if you're using it day to day in your house, and the Sawyer water filter is great for a bug out bag. It's great to keep in your car, anywhere where you could be caught without having some kind of potable water, where you could just say, well, there's a mud puddle, I'm going to drink out of it. So whoever buys a big Berkey tonight, they get that for free. Or if they hear, actually, I'll just say, if they mention this in the comments section that they heard it, because I know some people listen to it tomorrow, we'll still include that Sawyer water filter for free. But going on from there, you know, and Dave, I want to state for the record, I absolutely believe we're heading for a time when the rule of law is going to break down in the United States, and I will say why. My main reason is that we, again, have rejected the lawgiver. We have rejected his law, and we see the signs of anarchy springing up everywhere, just like those young men who were totally, you know, like they were laughing. I don't know how somebody could do that, just laugh at somebody drowning while they're begging for help. But as we see this rule of law break down, it's going to become more and more obvious to people that we better do something, we better network, and we better have friends and equipment that we on hand that can ride us through either a short-term disruption or a very long-term disruption. For those of you who've read the book by William Portion, 1 Second After, that's a long-term event. That's an EMP event where the electricity went off. And, you know, from what I understand, he contacted and talked with sociologists, psychiatrists, law enforcement, everybody, to foment that opinion that if the power went off in this country for a year, 90% of Americans would be dead. Dave, have you read that book? I don't know.
Very familiar with the concept. I don't know that. Let me say this. It's funny. I was talking with somebody about this the other day. I used to think an EMP was inevitable, but now I look at the foreign takeover of so much of what we have, the foreign troop presence. I think we're going to see a grid takedown, and I think they could possibly make it look like it's an EMP, but I don't think they want to let it go that far. They just want to do enough to get control and kill as many people as they can, and they being the deep state that is designed to bring down this country, that is the last standing obstacle to the New World Order.
And I totally agree with that. I think you're absolutely correct in your assessment. Is that who was the news? He wrote a book also. Guys, he used to be a news commentator for ABC News, but he wrote a book, and that's what he said. It's the electronic cyber bombs already embedded in the software, that all somebody has to do is push a button, and electronically it would have cascading power failures, that feedbacks, all kinds of things where the power grid could go down for a while. And we have to remember that, you know, after 3 days, people are going to be coming unglued. After a month, it's going to be really bad. And like you said, a lot of Americans at that point would really be in dire straits. No food, no water. They'd be victim to whatever was going on. They could not defend themselves. The big cities would be an absolute mess. And so, again, I agree with that assessment. But whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You know, if you stab me with a gun, stab me with a knife, or shoot me with a gun, you know, the results are probably pretty much the same. You know, if you stab me in a lethal area, I'm going to probably die. Shoot me in a lethal area, I'm going to probably die. If you stab me in the leg, you know, shoot me in the leg, it's going to be bad both ways. So, you know, whatever the reason, the grid would go down, or the water would go down, or the EBT cards wouldn't work. Whatever the deep state has in mind to gain this control, then it's going to affect Americans the same. And I would also just remember this. I mean, you know, you go into Iraq thinking that you're going to go in there and take care of business in short order. Well, once those dogs of war are loose, really, anarchy has its own mind. And sometimes it can get out of control very, very quickly, and it's hard to get it back into control. And so the deep state, thinking they're going to do this, could lose control of the situation very quickly. And law enforcement, you know, my two best friends are in law enforcement. They're going to stay home and protect their families. It might sound bad. If they couldn't get their wife and children into an area where they would be protected, they're going to stay home and protect them. So, again, that was one of the things John and I were talking about is, you know, quickly you would have groups develop where law enforcement couldn't deal with them, and you would, again, be in the position of having to deal with them. And again, this is where night vision and the communication come in. You know, we effectively, during this training exercise we went through, we effectively used radio communication to coordinate. We were relaying information back and forth because we physically couldn't see each other. We were actually coming from two different approaches where we couldn't, even if it was daylight, wouldn't have been able to physically see each other. But we could actually, you know, relay information back and forth of what we were seeing. And just think of how that would work in a grid down situation, to where, you know, I can talk to my neighbor can talk to me, I can talk to the people down at the each ends of my street. That kind of information would be priceless. And so, again, you know, encourage people to work towards getting the ability to communicate with others. And then, as I've talked with people many times about the need for night vision, it is one of those things. Without it, and you have a breakdown of the rule of law, one or two things. If you do have it, it is going to give you a force multiplier for you, your friends, and even a group of good people. If one person has it, it's going to be that piece of equipment that allows you to see the bad guy at night, that allows you to drive your car. Now, again, we've talked about this. Don't do it, you know, under normal conditions. Don't get caught by the state trooper driving at night with your headlights off. Under normal circumstances, he's probably not going to understand. But, you know, you can drive a blacked-out car at night. You can hike, and that's what we were doing. We were hiking through the woods at night. You can hunt at night. We did see some deer out and some other smaller critters when we were doing this, and it would have been easy to, you know, capture a deer that night. I could perform medical search and rescue, all kinds of things. And one of the other things, Dave, you've mentioned, it is a big price tag on a night vision if you get a good one. We now have listened to people, and we have offering financing. We teamed up with a finance company that if people want to finance a night vision, they can go to the website during checkout. They can click, it's Klarna, K-L-A-N-A, and it's going to be a 9.99% interest rate, which we even looked at our competitors, their financing programs, and they were like 10 and 11%, so we got the cheapest one we could find. But you can actually now, if you need to buy the night vision, you can go on our website and finance it up to 36 months, so it makes it a little bit easier in acquiring something like that. So with that said, I just want to encourage people, you know, again, to find those friends. Again, that's what really we're facing, is like-minded people joining forces to effectively take the verbal battle to them, and should it ever come to the point where they're, you know, got people running around trying to take abusing others, we could take the physical battle to them. It would only take
Bob,
two or three days.
What do you think? Let me ask you this because we're running out of time. What do you think the trigger event's going to be? If you were to give your best guess today, and we know it's speculation, you know, I'll show you yours if you show me mine. What do you think?
Okay. I'll say it very quickly. I know I have several different ones, and I'll put out the top ones. One, we are a nation horribly divided. I would not be surprised tomorrow morning if we woke up and the deep state had conducted a coup. That would not surprise me at all. I think half of Americans would welcome it because half of America wants a Marxist socialist system. And, you know, they have so demonized Donald Trump, they could impeach him, they could assassinate him, whatever. And we talked about this the other day. If for some reason Donald Trump is removed from office, you're going to watch the deep state not only come back and gain the ground that they've lost, they are going to come back with a vengeance against anybody who stood in their way.
I look at that is number three on my list. But I listen, any of the top ten could go. I agree with you. I still maintain watch the Oroville Dam in the fall because it would cut off 25% of all retail. It would cause food shortages and famines, and that would put us in a state of chaos. Take Donald Trump out, Pence takes over a country, and he's loyal to the deep state. That's my number one. But, Bob, it's kind of like a crapshoot, you know, throw something up in the air and hope you hit it. Okay, very quickly, tell people how they can get a hold of you to secure some of these needed products.
Well, they can call me, first of all. I really do enjoy talking with people. And if they call me after the show at 800-627-3809, I'm glad to go into how you can, you know, help devise a plan so that you and yours can better weather the storm that's coming. You can go online. Again, anybody who buys that Big Burkini Night is going to get that free. Tonight's the last night. We put our PVS 14 on sale. Tonight's the last night of that sale. So if you go buy it tonight, you're going to get the $50 off. Not much, but it's still some. And you can finance it if you need to. But again, you can call me. My website is readymaderesources.com. It's all one word, standard spelling, readymaderesources.com. And that would be either way. You can go online and order it. You can call me and talk to me if you have questions about it, and we can take an order over the phone. But either of those ways work very well. And then you can email me. One thing I want to say about before we leave, Dave, is I made a video on YouTube, and if you type in Ready Made Resources on YouTube, it'll come up. And it was actually talking about some of the finer things about radio use and how to more effectively use your handheld radios. I do have to say so myself. I think the video was pretty good. But if they go to Ready Made Resources and look up the communications video I just posted, they'll be able to watch it. And
okay, Bob, we got time for you to give out that phone number, and then we got to scoot.
Okay, 800-627-3809.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bob, for joining us and updating us, and we'll see which scenario comes true. Hopefully none of them. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Daryl Hamamoto in the third hour. You're not going to want to miss this.
Hey, Dave.